Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Beverly Immanibal is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, as I promised you. Beverly is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a great friend of ours, and an outstanding resource for you and for me. She is one of the people who helps us put our best foot forward in the marketplace to make sure that when we communicate with others on whatever in whatever medium, including face-to-face, that we do a good job. And she's the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. She's also the author of co-author of Success Is a Decision of the Mind. And she is our good friend, I'm glad to say. Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you this morning.
It's good to have you back. I know that you have been traveling around the world quite a bit, actually, in the last few years, but certainly in the last 60 days or so. And one of the things you have learned, I think maybe it's become more evident to you, is the importance of and the impact of first impressions, not just the ones that you make, but the ones that others make to you, haven't you?
I have. It has been a focus point for me since I went to Beijing, China, the end of September. From there, I went to Japan. And those first impressions and how they hit me and what I took away, and then it's just been following this idea of first impressions and the first impressions that others have made of me that I have made of them since I've been back. And I think it's an important topic for business owners to talk about.
So what was the strongest first impression lesson that you learned? Something that you could have done better, or something you did well, or what others did?
All of the above. For instance, when I went to China, the biggest impression that I was left with China was the mass number of people. We have six cities in the United States that have a population of 5 million or more.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many cities they have in China that have a population of 5 million or more?
Probably hundreds.
You're right, and you're the first person to be that close. It's 263.
Well, the only reason why I could actually think about, you know, could actually get my head around those kinds of numbers is because Ted Fishman is our China expert on the Brain Trust, and he has reported to us that China's middle class is the size of the American population.
Yes.
Just the middle class.
Well, now, and they say by 2020 that 80% of their population will be middle class.
And that's good news. That's good news for the rest of the world, by the way.
Yes,
but
it is.
In many ways, not in some ways, but what I was going to say is, I want to get you to say that number again. 260, how many?
263.
263 cities in China with 5 million or more people.
Now, don't let the fact that I choose to live in Chattanooga, Tennessee, do that, because I have clients in Manhattan. There have been times in my business life where I have been in Manhattan every other week.
Right.
I'm used to being around large cities.
Right.
Nothing prepared me for Beijing, China.
Wow. How many people are in Beijing?
18 million people.
18?
18 million people are
wow.
in Beijing. And Jim, I saw all of them when I was there.
You met every one of them, didn't you?
I did. They were outside my hotel and on the way to where I was going. I've never seen so many people walking, thousands of bicycles.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, all the vehicles.
Yeah.
But that was my biggest impression of China. The second biggest impression of China was how capitalistic they are. I have been to another communist country, Belarus.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, communist does not equal communist. You haven't seen capitalism until you go to Beijing.
Yeah.
You walk in a store, if you don't like the price, they start bartering. They start coming down
mm-hmm.
and pushing for you to buy. I had several conversations. I went there to be a keynote speaker at a conference. So So I had many opportunities to talk with very educated business people in China. And the message I got that was clear was that China's changing, that China is very capitalistic. I had three people to tell me that the population is so large and they are giving them freedom that they can't take it back, they being the government.
Mm-hmm.
They said there are too many of us, but the other message was we want more.
Beverly, I've been saying for several years now that capitalism will precede democracy.
Yes.
That capitalism almost, you know, not always, but usually capitalism, having the liberty to buy and sell, to trade with other people and to take possession of what you've earned, that level of capitalism, that precedes democracy.
And that was part of the core of my speech. I was telling them that it is business, not politicians or soldiers,
exactly,
that will change our world.
Exactly.
It is business, and it is the small
trade, not just business, but trade.
Yes, definitely. Trade in those relationships that we establish. So,
you know, Beverly, Frederick Bastiat, the great French economist / comedian from the 19th century, said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't."
Definitely.
I believe that.
I do too. And so.
So that you had a good. You had, in many ways you had a good first impression of an impressive impression, right? You were wowed by what was going on.
But
in terms of first impressions with regard to the people, how'd that work out?
The people that I met in the conference and my tour guides, I got to know. I got to strike up a conversation, and I found them to be very open, intelligent. I did not turn heads in China at all. Beijing is so ready for the Olympics. There's English.
But even with the red hair.
Even with my red hair. Now Japan was a different story. Japan, I turned heads because they.
Well, you're a head turner though, Beverly.
Oh, you're so sweet. They, you know, my impression of Japan before I went was that Japan was a state-of-the-art country. All right? And
yeah,
that China would really be lagging behind.
Yeah.
That's not the impression I got after being in one country after the other, back to back.
Very interesting. That was a pretty significant little trip there, going from one country to the other, back to back like that, I bet.
Yes. And, you know, unfortunately, as most of us know, they don't get along too well.
When we come back, they haven't been friends for maybe probably forever. Beverly, when we come back, I'm going to ask you if you made any first impression blunders. And ladies and gentlemen, if she did, and I'm not saying that she did, but if she did, she'll tell us. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. I've certainly made my share of those. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Beverly Inmanevil. Beverly has been a member of our Brain Trust since 1999. Ladies and gentlemen, that's some serious commitment to all the things that we do. And Beverly, on behalf of all of us here, and all those folks out there who enjoy listening to your words of wisdom, we thank you for that.
Thank you, and congratulations on 10 years. That's just awesome.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we're coming up on that real soon, next week. Hey, Beverly, give us your website, please.
It's talklisten.com, TALKLISTEN.com.
And, folks, you can hear dozens, I guess, of Beverly's past interviews on all the different topics that we've talked about on my website at smallbusinessadvocate.com by just finding her on the schedule page this week and the blog. Or just find her name in the list of the Brain Trust members. You can go back and listen to all the things. In fact, you can podcast now. Beverly, we allow people to podcast those interviews and take them with them. So
terrific.
Lots of good stuff there. Don't forget to check out AskJim.biz. That's our knowledge base. Beverly, we're talking about first impressions. How did you do? Now, somewhere, Beverly, somewhere in China and Japan, there's a talk show going on right now. And somebody is saying, okay, have you met any redheaded Americans lately? And what kind of a first impression did they give you? So somewhere in those two countries, there's a conversation going on about what kind of a first impression this redheaded woman who came in like a whirlwind had on them. So what do you think they said?
You know, I actually behaved this time. I know why you're asking me that question.
No.
I have gone places and just, you know, done some really crazy things.
How many countries can you not go back into, Beverly?
Oh, I think I can go everywhere, but, you know, maybe they won't recognize me.
I'm just teasing,
maybe
folks.
Not Belarus. I'm just banned from Belarus.
But how do you think you did? Did you make any faux pas?
I did not make any while I was there. It's interesting that I was on my best behavior, and many times we are when we know that we are in a strange place. And to me, Asia was a very strange place. I had not been to Asia before.
Yeah.
But now the topography in China, you know, looks like it does here in the southern mm-hmm. United States, but
rolling
the buildings, everything was so very, very different. Now, I did make a huge blunder when I came back.
Really?
In first impressions, I was bidding for a job with a very large company, and it was to teach them to give presentations.
Mm-hmm.
I do that all the time.
Right.
I have federal contracts to do that. I was so confident. I went in, and there were 10 people on this committee, and I didn't do a formal presentation. I briefly went over, you know, what we would do, and then I took questions. And to my amazement, I did not get the job. And when I called the woman to find out why, I was told that the first impression they had of me was that I was very laid back.
Mm-hmm.
And although they were so impressed with my knowledge and everything else, that the person that they chose commanded the room.
They wanted more intensity, which you have in buckets.
Oh, I do. In fact, I've been told by other people, you know, when you go in to meet them for the first time, that I intimidate.
Yeah.
That I am too commanding. I've had people tell me I could never speak
like you speak. So what made you decide to dial it down at that meeting?
Because the people seem so down to earth, just regular people.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest reason was I didn't put enough thought into making that first impression before I walked in that room.
You thought about what you wanted to say, not about how it would connect with the other people.
Exactly. And that's my message to all of your mm-hmm. heroes who are listening right now, is when you go into a new situation, just like I did in China, I was thinking beforehand about making a good first impression. And when I walked into that sales call, that wasn't what was on my mind. So making a first impression starts with making an impression on yourself that you are on the moment you're on premise.
Is it possible to overthink that? Is it not better just to be yourself, or does it, you know, you see what I mean? Is it possible that maybe you could overanalyze that?
I think you can overdo anything. What I'm encouraging people to do is to put some thought into it. Yes, be yourself, but be your best self.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone, for 10 people to think that I was too laid back. I mean, Jim, you know me. You've met me in person.
I don't even understand.
Times.
I don't understand what kind of a bizarro world that could happen in.
I'm not laid back, folks. But you know, there's a valuable.
She makes me look like pudding or something, folks.
I'm not sure about that.
She makes me look like a wallflower, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't think you could ever be a wallflower.
I'm just teasing. Okay.
But what I'm encouraging people to do is to think through what's your purpose, what are you striving to accomplish, and then how do you best accomplish that? I was going in to get a job to teach people to present. So in hindsight, I could have gone in giving them a sample of a presentation
mm-hmm.
and then having that laid-back conversation with them.
Should you have asked somebody in advance what the room was going to be like?
Yes, I should have.
That's a good lesson, too, isn't it?
It was a huge lesson.
What are the personalities? What do these people like to see? That's a lesson that's a good lesson. And thank you for sharing that with us, Beverly. I know you're still making payments on that. Like I tell some of my folks, you know, I'm still making payments on that advice. But thank you for that. Give us the website again quickly, please.
It's talklisten.com.
Beverly Inman Ebel, ladies and gentlemen. As you can tell, she's the best. Thanks, Bev. See you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Quick break. Right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. It's 29 after the hour.
Practice the gas, but it's all-
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.